Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better healthcare. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Let's talk a little bit about your health now with Dr. Jeffrey Copen, the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital. This conversation is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better healthcare. It's always a pleasure to have you on the radio, Doctor. I hope you had a nice weekend.
I did, and it was so nice, John, that when I realized it was Tuesday, and I was going to have my weekly opportunity to chat with you. It's like, what happened to Monday, right? It always happens with these three-day weekends.
Well, if it's any consolation, it's a four-day week, so that's good, huh?
Yeah, well, that's true. We just have to remember today is Tuesday.
I caught a cold over the weekend, though, which isn't doing me any favors, and our audience for that matter, and I thought, why did I catch a cold? What did I do wrong? What did I do to deserve this, Doctor?
Bad luck, John. Bad luck. Those upper respiratory viruses are just lurking. And when you're going to get hit, you're going to get hit. You know what's going to happen. You'll feel lousy for a couple days, and then you're going to be fine. You know, for you, obviously, it's an occupational hazard when it bothers your voice. But, you know, the viruses are with us, and they're not going anywhere.
Taking mega doses of vitamin C when you feel it coming or when you've got it, or maybe well in advance, would that prevent the onset of a cold?
No. The best thing is to be in the best health you can be in, get sleep. You know, the viruses love to hit us when, you know, we're sleep deprived, and then we'll feel worse for a couple of days. But the vitamin stuff, high doses of vitamins, that's been looked at. It really is not effective. I'm sure, John, we have listeners who do believe in it. And if you believe in it, that's fine. I just don't have any scientific evidence to support that idea.
One other personal question. I was with my folks this weekend, and my dad wanted me to pick up these pills that he takes in the vitamin section of the pharmacy that help with memory. And I said, well, what's the name of the pills? And he said, I can't remember, which sounds like a speed joke, but it's true. But anyway, I found them, and they were expensive. Like, by the time I got that and some other vitamin for him, it was $65 for just two little things. What's your thought about doses of something to improve memory or retain memory?
I wish we had something like that, but there is not something like that. People try all kinds of home remedies, herbal supplements, over-the-counter vitamins. If someone believes it's going to help, go ahead and do it. That's how you want to spend your $65. But no, we don't have anything that has been shown to help people maintain their memory.
They are marketing it as something you take and it improves the neural connections or something. I suppose it doesn't hurt, but you don't think it helps, huh?
No, I wish it did, but it does not. There's an exclusion in the law that FDA follows to approve medication. And the exclusion is for supplements. And this vitamin, whatever it is that your dad is using, falls under that exclusion. That's how come they don't have to show the kind of evidence that we're all so used to hearing about when it comes to things like vaccines, when it comes to supplements. They can just market it however they want.
I'm looking at a list of 12 key symptoms for long COVID. So if you are concerned about long COVID now, here are the symptoms of it. And I think I got five of these. But I think most of us have five of these. Dizziness, chest pain, heart palpitations, thirst, brain fog. Can you talk a little bit about this?
Yeah. Last week in the medical journal JAMA, and if people are interested, you actually can find this article. It's under JAMA Network. There was an amazing statistical analysis done of almost 10,000 people who participated in a study looking for signs and symptoms of long COVID. And what they're trying to do, what this article is trying to do, is come up with a definition of long COVID. This is really important, John. You know, think about how long we've been talking about long COVID. There have been well over 200 different signs and symptoms of what could be long COVID identified in the medical literature, over 200. Clearly, that's no way to make a diagnosis. That's no way to do research. I mean, how can we talk about something like that? So what these folks did is really an amazing, amazing statistical accomplishment. They've come up with what they believe are the 12 most common signs and symptoms of COVID. They've given them a numerical score to be able to help not so much with the diagnosis for clinical reasons, but for research. We've seen this happen before with other diseases. John, we've been around a long time. So remember chronic fatigue syndrome?
Yep.
So chronic fatigue syndrome, this goes all the way back into the early 90s to the mid 90s. We weren't sure what that was. Chronic fatigue syndrome, did it really exist? Well, it turns out it does. It's not as common as originally thought. But in order to get chronic fatigue syndrome under control, the same type of statistical analysis was done of possible signs and symptoms. That did a lot for our understanding of chronic fatigue syndrome, how to treat it, how to diagnose who has it. And I think what we just saw with the publication of this very important study is the beginning of doing the same thing for long COVID. This is important work. It's very impressive. This by no means is the be-all and end-all on this subject, but I think what they've done is they've pushed forward our understanding dramatically. We're going to be able to study long COVID better, and I think for our patients who might have long COVID, this is going to go a long way to help us make a diagnosis and counsel our patients.
So there's 12 symptoms, and they say if you score 12 points, then you would fall under the long COVID umbrella. If you have loss of smell or taste, that's a score 8 points. Post-exertional malaise, 7 points. What is that? What is post-exertional malaise?
There are some people who had COVID infection that for months after they've had a COVID infection, when they go outside and just walk down the block, physical exertion that in the past would not cause any problem at all, leave them exhausted. That's what that's referring to. And it turns out, according to this statistical analysis, that's for people who have that, that's very typical of long COVID.
And that's 7 points. Chronic cough, 4. Brain fog, 3. You're thirsty, 3. Heart palpitations, 2. Chest pains, 2. Fatigue, 1. Dizziness, 1. GI distress, 1. Issues with sexual desire and capacity, 1 point. And abnormal movements, slowed movements, tremors, 1 point. If you score 12, then you are long COVID, more or less.
Well, you may have long COVID, John.
Pardon
That's
me.
That's the important thing.
Yeah.
You may have long COVID. This is not a mistake that always happens when a study like this is done, is people want to use this to make a diagnosis. This isn't what they're trying to do. What the authors of the study are trying to do is come up with a way to characterize people who may have long COVID so we can continue to study them. We'd be making a mistake if people were to look at this list, add up their own, do their own score and say, hey, I have long COVID. Please don't do that. Have that conversation with your physician. Don't use this study to give yourself a diagnosis of something you might not have. And John, you said the right thing. You looked at that list and said, hey, I think I got 5 of these.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah.
A lot of us have the occasional chest pain and the palpitation and we feel fatigued, and who doesn't have brain fog after a 3-day weekend, right? I mean, all these things can be very common. That's why this study was so important, trying to bring some logic and better understanding to this group of people who have long COVID.
By the way, Doc, I just looked up that product that my dad had me pick up at the drugstore for $50. And it says here on their website, not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or medical condition. Huh.
that's a message to FDA. Stay away from us. We're not marketing this for any reason. We really aren't.
It's, but then all over this site, all over this, it says enhance memory and recallability, help manage brain fog and mental fatigue, promote focus and concentration. Wow. It didn't say cure in any of those things, but you can see why my dad would want that, right?
For sure. For sure. And, you know, these companies sell billions of dollars of these products for every malady you can think of. But if you look at their website, you'll find that same disclaimer.
COVID is coming back in China, huh?
I have no idea what's going on in China. The Chinese government ceased providing statistics. So I don't know. I know that there's some reporting coming from some of the American correspondents who are in China that they're apparently seeing an uptick again in COVID. I don't know what that means. I really don't, John. I wish I did. I think it's important to know. But I think the bottom line is for people here in the States and in the Chicago area, don't worry about it. It's an interesting story to follow. We'll see if we can learn something from it. But please, nobody panic because the stories that of what may be going on in China.
One last thing. More exercise appeared to lower women's Parkinson's risk, according to a new study. Are you up on that one, Doc?
Yeah, I saw that. I think more exercise will limit risk for pretty much everything, John. You know, we're talking about your dad and his memory. We know that seniors who are more physically active than seniors who are not physically active, as a general rule, will show less memory deterioration. That's something that has been shown. Bone health, now decreased Parkinson rates. We already saw that in men. The reason this study is important, it's showing it also in women. Cardiac health, obviously. People who exercise do better if they have a heart attack or a stroke than people who don't exercise. So if there's one thing we all could do to keep ourselves in the best health possible, including fighting off those colds that we talked about before,
yep,
the better overall physical condition we are with regular exercise, the better we're going to be doing across the board.
What's a quick answer to this? So then my wife said, maybe you shouldn't have worked in the yard so much, John, because you wore yourself out and that doesn't help you recover from the cold. When you do have a cold, should you then take it easy or does your physical exertion matter at all?
I think it depends how you feel. We've all had those colds, John, where we feel like we've been hit by a truck. And whether we want to get more rest or not, we really don't have a choice. After that, I think it depends on just how we feel. People need to listen to their bodies mm-hmm. and do what your body's advising you to do. You'll get better that way.
I do what my wife's body advises me to do. That's what I try and do.
That's, that works. That's probably the best advice of all.
It is. Dr. Copen is the chief medical officer at Lake Forest Hospital for Northwestern. Visits with us on Tuesdays at this time. It's Tuesday. Thank you, doctor. As always, we appreciate it.
All right, John. Take care. Bye-bye.
There he goes.